plate a potential nugget.
A couple of leadership principles I wanted to zoom in on. One is R right a lot, and the other was about disagree and commit, have backbone, disagree and commit. But talking about the first one, R right a lot, the reason it intrigues me is that very often in the corporate world, leaders are measured by outcomes and not so much by the decisions, right? In the context of how Amazon thinks about leadership judgment, any insights around how Amazon focuses on the quality of the judgment and not just on the quality of the outcome?
Yeah. So if you read that, so anyone can go read these leadership principles, just Google Amazon leadership principles. They're published. So for each one of these, to really understand them, you can't just read the headline. You have to read the detailed sentences beneath them. So our right a lot is described this way. Leaders are right a lot. They have strong judgment and good instincts. They seek diverse perspectives and work to disconfirm their beliefs. Okay, so you have to then deconstruct each section. Right a lot. So leaders end up, what are the primary jobs of a leader? One of the most important ones is to make decisions, right? And the easiest decisions to make are ones where the data clearly tells you to choose door A versus door B. And if every decision were that way, frankly, we wouldn't need CEOs and leaders. We could all just look at the data, say, the data says this, we're going to go do that. But the reality is, very rarely is that the case. And so what a leader has to do in making a decision is to be able to factor in many variables, a variety of information from different sources and different angles, and distill that all, make sense of it all, organize it all in their head, and use that to make a decision. That is not a skill that anyone is born with. That is a skill that people practice over time. And the best way to practice it, by the way, is to be put in a position where you have to make a lot of decisions quickly, quickly is not an important part. And that comes through experience. So when I look at this one, this means that people have, through experience, have gotten skilled at the art of making, the art and science of making a decision. And if you look at their track record of having, so when you're in a performance review discussion and you're wanting to know if you should promote someone, you're going to look for examples of when this leader was confronted with, door A or door B, what did they decide and how did that work out? And not only what did they decide, but how did they decide it? So the last sentence says they seek diverse perspectives and work to disconfirm their beliefs. That requires, you should reread that one about four times if you're listening to this podcast. So diverse perspectives, that's pretty straightforward. But let me step back a minute. What a lot of leaders think their job is to be confident and right. What inexperienced or leaders that are not that self-confident do is that they don't realize that their job is actually to seek a lot of different data and perspectives to make a good decision. Drucker wrote about this. In fact, he would say that if you're in a meeting and everyone says, and you're confronted by door A and door B, and literally everyone is making an argument for A and no one is making the argument for B, you should disband this meeting, not make this decision until someone can go and make the good argument for B, because you don't really understand the problem well enough if you don't understand what is the argument for B. There are always, good arguments on both sides. And if you don't understand the arguments on both sides of an issue, then you don't really understand the issue. So a good leader gets that. And so they seek diverse perspectives. They seek contrary points of opinions and points of view that are contrary to their own. And they work to disconfirm their beliefs. There's a great story about this that I've heard, it's hearsay, about Steve Jobs, where Steve Jobs, I don't know what the product was, or I don't know who the leader was, but there was some product that was launched at Apple at one point and it flopped. And he went back to one of his leaders and said, it's your fault that we made this mistake. And this guy said, me? It's not my fault. I was the one who spent, you know, was trying to told you we shouldn't do this and this wasn't going to work. And so how could it be my fault? And Steve said, because it's your fault because you didn't bring forth the information in the right way to help me understand why this wasn't going to work. And so the point is, Steve Jobs, great leaders and great thinkers like Steve Jobs or Jeff Bezos, they seek out, they talk to many people, they form a point of view, then they go talk to someone else that tries to take the other side of the argument to let them see, does that other side of the argument a better argument, or is this one a better argument? That's what the disconfirm their beliefs is. So I could talk about right a lot all day as you're getting the picture. But this is an extremely important skill that great leaders have.
Moving to a different theme, Bill, you talk about how Jeff and leaders in Amazon made decisions, and you talk about one-way door decisions and two-way door decisions, right? And you say in the book that very often people use the mechanism for one to make decisions on the other side. So could you talk a little bit about what kinds of decisions are these, and maybe with a couple of examples illustrate how Jeff or leaders in Amazon thought about these two kinds of decisions?
Yeah. So simply put, a one-way door decision is that if you make that decision, you walk through the door, you can't just turn around and walk back through that door without incurring, you know, substantial cost or difficulty. A two-way door decision means you make that decision, go through the other side. You don't like what you see. No big deal. You just walk back through the door and, you know, go back to what you were doing before. A simple example of a two-way door decision was when we said, we're not going to use PowerPoint anymore. We're going to use Word documents to make meetings. If we'd done that for a month and didn't like it, just go back to PowerPoint. A one-way door decision is to say, I think we need to build a new fulfillment center, a new 800,000 square foot fulfillment center in Australia, and we don't have any there right now. That's a pretty big decision. And if it turns out that you know, by launching in Australia, not much of a market materializes, or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, or you pick the wrong place, that's going to be a very expensive decision. So in other words, for two-way door decisions, don't spend hours and days and months debating those. Just do it. Just go through the door. If you don't like what you see, go back. But for one-way decisions, that's where you want to slow down and actually look at the data carefully and make a good decision. And by the way, hiring someone is a one-way door decision. It's very expensive and difficult. That's why it's a considered process of the company.
Got it. I guess one of the pieces I was curious about was from a leadership development perspective, when it comes to things like judgment, when it comes to things like decision-making, how does Amazon think about developing that capability with the leaders at various points in their hierarchy?
The best way for people to learn and develop is by doing. So, you know, a lot of people, I'm going to botch this, but there's some model, I believe it's like a 70-20-10 or something like that people use, where the idea is that 70% of your time for, 70% of the way you're going to develop is just on the job work and development. 20% of it is, self-learning, self-teaching, reading books, going online, reading blogs, being electric, listening to podcasts. Maybe 10% is some actual formal class or training that you take. And I firmly believe that the way you learn the most is by doing, by being presented with situations, having to make decisions, and learning from your mistakes and your successes. The other way is by having a culture of teaching and training in the company. Let me just give you a simple example of this. When one of the many things that would happen when you're in a meeting with Jeff, and we'd be talking about a document, you know, we read a document, and now we're in a meeting and having a discussion. And he would present a way of thinking that no one else in the room had presented, or a solution or a decision that no one else had thought of. One of the most important things he would do is to say, you know, I think we should do this, and let me explain to you how I got there. He would then explain the filter, the thinking, the criteria that he applied to the problem to help him get to the right solution. And that's a great example of that kind of teaching is something that a manager or leader should do every day. Like, the worst thing a manager or leader could do is say, nope, we're going to do X just because, like, that's what I want to do. That is the worst. What they need to do is say, we're going to go do X, and let me tell you why I think that's the right idea. That's just one example of the way that you can coach and teach. Another example, again, at Amazon, we had this bar raiser hiring process. Part of what the bar raiser did was to say in the interview debrief to give coaching and teaching to feedback to people who are interviewing. Interviewing is hard. So when people would say, would talk about a candidate and talk about their abilities versus, say, the leadership principle are right a lot, and someone might say, well, I think this person is right a lot, and here's the example of why. If the bar raiser disagreed, they would say, no, actually, I don't think this person is right a lot, and here's why I don't think you're thinking about that the right. Your example really isn't an example of right a lot. It's an example of something else, or it's not a good example at all. And so you want to have that culture of teaching and thinking in every meeting and every decision and every discussion. And to loop back on the theme, the Amazon leadership principles were often a big part of that. Like, to say, I'm making this decision because I don't think the customer obsessed way to make this decision is this, where you refer back to some specific leadership principle, or like, I just don't think we're insisting on high enough standards here. So our standard shouldn't be, you know, 99.5 of the time that we meet customer promise. It should be, you know, 99.999. And here's why.
If this is a topic of curiosity, you might like my conversation with Sir Andrew LeCaman of London Business School, who studied the topic of judgment. He speaks about a 6-step process for us to get to a good decision. Here's a short snippet from him.
And there's the famous case of Alfred P. Sloan at General Motors, when people agreed to an item on the agenda around the board table, asked people to go away and think about it and then come back to the next meeting so that somebody could present an alternative so that they could at least discuss it. Now, I'm not suggesting that's a very good use of everybody's time, but just let me give you an example of something that I've done here, which is, and that happens particularly if people are somehow afraid to speak up, to say, I'd like to name somebody, you know, just to put the alternative view so that we've heard it. Now, that might give somebody courage, as it were, to put forward a view that they have without feeling that they are causing a problem in terms of their own position in disagreeing with the majority of people in the room.
When I work with leaders in transition, there's often the notion of the availability bias, where you believe what you see is all there is in terms of transition possibilities. But I believe if you create the space and time for new possibilities to emerge, you often end up in a much better place. If you wish to know more about this, you can go to my LinkedIn profile. Just search for Deepak Jayaraman on LinkedIn. You will see an article on what you see is all there is bias. Ensuring that we create a climate for people to speak up and listen to diverse perspectives can make all the difference. If this topic is of interest, you might like the playlist Judgment. Just go to playtopotential.com. And once you're there, go to the curated playlist section and look up the playlist on judgment.